Morning. To clarify the announcement, if you need, if it's an emergency, yeah, call me and I will get a hold of that. I can help your emergency if you need me, but you probably aren't wanting me to solve your emergency. So I'll get a hold of that if you need that. But that's just to clarify. Usually whenever I'm up here and I'm teaching, I usually come to you with a lot of like mystic, and because I like that type of stuff. I like the mystic type of stuff in the Bible that people don't study much, that they don't hear about a lot and don't understand, such as like angelology, study of the Holy Spirit, you know, types and of the Holy Spirit, types of Christ that you might not see. And I like that type of stuff. It gets me more interested in the Scriptures whenever I see that stuff and I connect it to things that we already know. Today's going to be something different, kind of totally out of my scheme. I actually have a topic that we all know, we all love, we all understand. But it's something that we can, if we think about it and we, you know, just chop up the Scriptures a little bit more, we can see how God wants us to recognize it. What got me to get this topic in the first place was about a year ago, I'd say, maybe a little bit more. I was really humiliated in front of some peers of mine. And I came to my dad about it like a couple of days afterwards. And he said, you know what? Sometimes when you're humiliated, you get humbled. And it usually happens. I mean, that's why humility and that's why you're humbled, because you feel under the people that you thought you're equal with, right? So, welcome, Nick. Welcome. So, when he told me that, I thought, okay, maybe this was planned. Maybe God wanted me to be humiliated in front of people that I know, in front of my peers, for a reason. Maybe I need to be more humble. And it made me start looking into, you know, humility more. Dad gave me a couple books about humility. I never really finished those books, so I'm halfway through almost every one of them. But it made me want to start studying about humility more. And today's topic is about being humble and understanding humility, not only towards us, but on how God recognizes humility. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine not that long ago about how there's things in the world that a lot of people consider wrong, right? But they're not wrong. The topic got into other things such as like drinking. It's not wrong, but if you overindulge, it's gluttony, right? Smoking, a lot of people think it's wrong. It's not wrong at all, right? It's just not healthy. So, another things were like nudity. It's not technically wrong, but God doesn't, He never said you're in sin if you're naked, because He made Adam and Eve perfect naked, right? So you guys could all be naked and it'd be perfectly fine. But so one of those things that we brought up though in this conversation was being humble. Most of the world itself considers humility as a bad thing. Unless you're in sports is something where, oh, I see, you know, they showcase a certain athlete's humility or them being humble. For instance, Andrew McCutchen on the Pirates, he's known as a very humble player, okay? He's got millions of dollars, signed some multi-million dollar contract. Pittsburgh loves him. He's all over the place. He's the face of the Pirates, but yet he doesn't really, you know, he just keeps down to himself. Tim Duncan's another one from the San Antonio Spurs in basketball. Very humble guy, but everybody talks about him. very quiet, you know, doesn't let himself, doesn't argue a lot with the refs. You know, you have these different people. I just heard somewhere that Manny Pacquiao was one of the most humblest boxers ever. And so in sports, it's highlighted, and I think that's mostly because you have a lot of people in sports that are arrogant, and people can't stand that, or that makes the publicity. But on the flip side of those type of people, you get a lot of the humble characters in sports. Other than in sports, though, I don't see a lot of people saying, look at that guy, or look at that woman, that's so humble, that's great. Because in the world, they respond humility to a pushover, someone who's weak, someone who can't hold up for themselves. How could you be, you know, how can you be a mother if you're humble? You're just going to get run over by your kids. How can you be humble if you're a man? You know, your boss is going to totally destroy your life in your job. He's going to run you over. You're going to be controlled by your wife at home. You know, your whole life is just going to be you're going to be a living doormat, they say, right? The world hates it. It doesn't like it. And today I'm going to show you that it doesn't matter what the world says. This is one of the most important things God considers. The only reason that I am not saying it's the most important thing is because Jesus said the principal thing is love. But at the end of this, I'm going to come down on it that you could take the word love out of certain verses, probably a good amount of them, and put humility in, and it would make perfect sense. Because to me, you can't love perfectly without humility. And it's right under that. Because love is the principal thing, to understand that love, you have to have humility to get up to that love. And so, I always do this. I always look whenever I'm studying anything, any topic or anything, I take the word, right? I get the definition, and then we go through the definition. And so let's do that. When you go to the definition of humility, it says, you know, living a lifestyle of being humble. So then what's humble? The number one definition of humble is not proud or arrogant. Now this is talked about tons in the Bible on how God hates it, okay? In Job 40:11, I'm going to go to tons of verses today. And just so you know, we've heard it tons of times. If God mentions it more than once, it's important, right? Well, the ones that I'm going to be telling you aren't even half of what he talked about humility in the Bible. So it's very, very important. In Job 40, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Disperse the rage of your wrath." This is Yahweh talking to Job. He says, "Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him." And in this we see, okay, you don't like proud people. And if anything that you're going to do to them, you're going to make them humble. Verse 12, "Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place." So this isn't a thing where it's, I'm just gonna tell you you're fix this. You're a little wrong. Because this is almost like God's wrath coming down on people. You don't just give someone a slap on the hand when you're treading them down, right? Treading you down means you're under my foot. I'm gonna show you what it means to be humble. I saw this when I got humiliated. I saw this and I felt this. And you feel it when you get humiliated in anything. Go to Proverbs 6. Six and seventeen. "These six things Yahweh hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. The number one thing, a proud look." The number one. He doesn't even have to go to number two, okay? Now, God said that love is the principal thing. You can't love if you're doing his number one thing that he can't stand. If you're being proud and arrogant, he hates it. He can't stand it. That's one of the reasons why when I was... I'm big into basketball. Everybody knows that. When I was watching basketball tons, when I was still living with my parents, my dad couldn't stand half of the posters I had up on my wall of all these basketball players, right? Because they're all giving you this, like, yeah, I'm so much better than everybody else in the league type of look. And he said, that's a proud look. That's a haughty look. And I can't stand that guy. So then when I have someone up like Grant Hill, was another guy who was very humble. When I had Grant Hill up, Grant Hill's just standing there with the ball smiling. And it's like, I like him. Dad's like, I like him. You know, it's like, okay. You know, he doesn't give you that sense of, I'm going to destroy you on the court, even though he did. But it was a sense of, you know, it's just me. I'm just here. I can do this good, but I don't have to prove it, okay? I don't have to prove it by the way I look. So one of the things out of the six, and I'm not even going to go to the rest, because it's not important to me right now. I'm talking about being proud, being arrogant. Number one thing God hates, he hates it, can't stand it, is being proud. Proverbs 21. Verse 4. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. So, once again, this isn't even something that just God doesn't like. He's calling it sin. If you are proud and you look proud, you know, if you have this sense of I'm so much better than everybody else, just in the way you look, it's sin. So already we're seeing the, you know, this is obviously something Jesus died for. He doesn't like that. Last one about proud and arrogant. 1 Peter, and you could go to either 1 Peter 5 or James 6. They both of these times in the New Testament, they quote Proverbs 3, though. 1 Peter 5:5 or James 4:6. 1 Peter 5:5b, the B part, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So it's not, it's also a thing where, okay, it's my number one top thing I hate. It's sin, and I'm also not going to come around it. I resist you. I don't come near you. God is someone who is full of grace and mercy and love, and He's always there for you. He has His open arms to you, right? That's what we preach to those who think that, you know, all about hell and damnation. We preach them, no, God is full of love and grace. But that love and grace is going to come if you're humble enough to accept it, okay? Not if you're, I don't need that. I can go through my life without this. Well, then, guess what? He'll resist you then, okay? You're resisted because you're proud and arrogant to the God of the universe. You're showing Him you're nothing. And in both, that's another thing, if it's said more than once, right? 1 Peter and James both say it, but they say it, and they're quoting another time, a third time, or the first time it was mentioned in Proverbs 3, 34. So it shows, you know, this is not something that is liked upon. Do not do this. Don't do it. You know, if you want to look good in front of God, then it's not going to be looking proud. It's not. He hates that. The second definition of humble was having a feeling of insignificance. This is something that I think we can all relate to. We all know what it means to have that feeling. We all have either been under something before, and whether somebody has treated us that way or not is the difference. But we have all felt the ability of being under or feeling like you're below somebody, right? That's part of being humble. Just because you're feeling it doesn't mean it's wrong. Okay? This could be something God puts innate in us to be like, this is what I want you to feel like you aren't the God of the universe. I want you to feel you're not the king. Okay? You are below me. But in being below me, I raise you high. And we'll talk about that later. The last definition is, for humble, is low in rank / importance, status, and quality. all these things are what we really are, okay? We are low in rank to God. We are low in importance to God. We are low in status to God. And we are quality, I don't know if we're part of the body of Christ. But we aren't God. We're not even kings, okay? He will make us kings eventually, but right now, it's not a thing where it's, you know, well, I know I'll be this, so let's act like it now. No, you know you'll be this, so continue in the humility so He doesn't shun you away, right? Being humble is something that makes God open His arms to you, okay? We'll see how later on it talks about God dwells with the humble. He doesn't live with the proud. He's not going to do that. He lives with the humble. We see this in Matthew 9:35. You don't have to turn to it. This is the part where Jesus said, "Those that wish to be first shall be last." Right? Everybody's heard that once in a while, and you know we joke about it in the line for food, you know, and everything like that. But you know, Jesus is saying, listen, don't desire to be the first, because that's the proud part. And if you want that, then I'm going to humiliate you and make you the last. He told the disciples too, don't go to the first seat at the top of a table when you're being invited for dinner or something. Go to the last, because then the reward of the person who says, hey, you, come up here. The reward of that honor is so much better than I'm sitting at the top spot with the king, right? You don't want to do that, because then you'll be humiliated, probably. That's not your seat. Get out. You know? That's for someone more important than you. So this is all type of stuff of like we understand this, but do we act in this way? And we're seeing too that, and in just this little bit, we see that humility isn't something that you can humble yourself every once in a while. That's easy to do. You can humble yourself by serving somebody, by doing something, by giving your time, by inconveniencing yourself. You can humble yourself very easily. But humility is a lifestyle. It's not one of those things where I do it a couple times, now I'm good. Okay? I have to live this way day in, day out. Every step I take should be a humble step. It shouldn't be proud. It shouldn't be arrogant. And I shouldn't think that I deserve it. I shouldn't think that this life of mine is something that, well, you know, God made me because I deserve it. No. You know, God made you because of grace and mercy, love. Those are things that He's giving to you. And He's saying, look at this, what I've given you. Be humble because of it. Have humility through this. Okay? Dad was just talking in the Dear Cesaron about the Pharisees. And so we'll go to Luke 11:43. We were just talking about this. Dad was just talking about this with the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware." When we're talking about Pharisees, I just bring this up because obviously Jesus saw this, and He hated it. He couldn't stand it. And then in Colossians 2, we just see another quality of Pharisees. And, you know, if you're asking for the best seat in the house, if you're trying to make yourself look a certain way so that you're that person that people recognize, In Colossians it talks about how you act a certain way when you're fasting, and you're acting like you're hurting and everything, when you could have just started fasting like an hour ago. Okay, but you're acting like it's so hard, you know, I'm dealing with this, so that people will come up to you and say, "What's the matter?" "I'm fasting." Like, why are you doing that? Because I need to show that I'm humbling myself. No. Humility isn't something that people have to see. It's something that people will eventually see. That's part of the reason of being humble. You're not supposed to show yourself up, right? I wasn't going to wear a tie today, once again, because I always want to break that tradition. Perry's not here, but he always wears a tie, so I always feel comfortable when he's wearing a tie. But I wasn't going to wear a tie because I'm teaching humility. Why do I have to be the one seen, right? I can look in the crowd and no one else is wearing a tie. I don't know who's teaching today, right? And then I come up. That's humble. And I wore a tie anyhow, so it really broke me. And then I wore a suit, so that's even worse. But one thing that we learned too is humble. Go to Deuteronomy 8:2. This is a good piece of being humble. Deuteronomy 8:2. Start at verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in, possess the land of which Yahweh swore to your fathers. This is Moses talking to the Israelites, obviously. And you shall remember that Yahweh your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. What we can see from this is God could have very easily taken them from point A to point B. Okay? He didn't do that because He wanted to humble them. Now, how are you humbling them if you're feeding them daily, and then when they complain for water, you give them that too, and then when they complain for meat, you give them that too? It doesn't seem like they're being humble. But he says, he mentions the 40 years, okay? The 40 years is patience. He wanted them to have patience before I get you to this place I told you I would get you to. Okay? Patience plus being humble is humility. Patience is something that is very important to humility, because if you're living a patient life, then you're waiting for your turn, right? You're accepting the time when God will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If you're rushing to it, then you're not humble enough, because I have to get there now. It has to be me. I have to see it first, right? I have to be the first person, okay? If you're living a humility life, if you're living a humble life, humility is a lifestyle, and you don't do things very quick in life. You can't. Because God set a time, right? You can't go to work for Tuesday right now. You have to wait. Life is all about waiting. You have to wait for the next day. You have to wait for the next month, the next year, you know, the next whatever. And in doing that, that's a lifestyle, okay? We learn, for our children, we teach them patience, okay? You'll get this, just wait. Christmas will come. Your toys will come. Just wait. You know, I want to open it right now. Just wait, right? Patience, they say patience is a virtue. Well, it is. Because without patience, you can't be completely living in a humility life. Humility is something that takes time. I have to show you that I'm patient. You can't just see it like that. Over time, you will realize that guy's patient. And it's been a while, and I've seen it over a long, long stretch of time. That guy is humble. That guy's living a humble life. He's very he has tons of humility, because over time, you know, he's just that guy. And I just keep on doing it day in and day out. I don't give up, and I don't act like I have to be there first. It's not me first mentality. It's I'll allow someone before me, right? I'll allow someone to be in a higher ranking than me. I'll allow someone to be at a bigger status than me. I'll allow myself to be at a lower ranking. I'll feel insignificant in front of others because that's what God wants. It has nothing to do with other people. Though, love, if you're supposed to love others, then you would put them first, right? And by putting them first, you're humbling yourself. That's why love and humility work so close together. It's very hard not to be humble and not live a humble life and not love somebody. Because as you're being humble and as you're walking in this humility, you are loving those who you're running across, right? Because you're doing that to them. In Brothers of Daniel that we have every once in a while, we focus on one guy, and then we just chop him up, look at his qualities of this one guy, a younger man in the Bible, and we follow him. We try to take things from his life that we see in the Bible that we know are great qualities, and we try to act on that in life. Okay, Elihu, the fourth friend of Job, is a very, very humble guy. You see that because he had patience. There's a bunch of idiots before him talking and talking and talking and talking, and just when you thought it was over, here's Bildad again, right? They never stopped talking. Even Job said, I think he says halfway through the book, he says, how long do I need to listen to you guys? Because you're not helping me. And then they keep on talking and say, why are you being so stubborn, Job? Listen to us. It's like, you guys aren't saying anything good. And Elihu, you don't even know he's there the whole time. That's another thing. The man's not even mentioned until the very last couple chapters. And when he's mentioned, he says, all right, I waited because I thought I was going to hear something good. I haven't. So now God's telling me it's time to talk. But I waited because, age has wisdom, he says. So I thought, there should be age in that. Now, even if he knew the guys, which he probably did, he probably knew Bildad and Eliphaz and the other guy.
What's his other name?
He probably knew them three, and so he probably knew they're not gonna say anything, right? But he still sat there, and he still had patience, and he waited and he waited and he waited until they were done. And then finally, boom, okay, I'm going to say this. And then this is the other thing that's good about Elihu. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't even really talk about Job. He said, you're wrong, look at God. Look at what God did for you. Why would you think this? Okay, it's about God. It's not about these guys. It's not even about me. I'm just saying this because the Holy Spirit's moving me, and I have to because nothing good's been said yet. Humility is something that you see in a lifestyle, and you see by the way people act on a daily basis, okay? You can do something, but that's humble to one another, and then be the most arrogant person every other day. It's not, oh, I did something, now I'm good as God. No, you're not living a humble life in doing that. So, in Psalms 12 and in Psalms 10, it says that we are humbled when we call to Him. Go to Psalms 12. 9, I'm sorry. 9, 12. When He avenges blood, He remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Now, in the Old Testament, we can add cry as prayer almost. Okay? Because God said in the bush to Moses, He said, I have heard the cries of my people Israel. They were probably crying out to God, help us, praying to God, like, help us, we're slaves. So the cries that you hear in the Old Testament are prayers. Just the next chapter over in Psalms 10, verse 12, and then jump down to 17. Arise, O Yahweh, O God, lift up your hand, do not forget the humble. And then you jump down to 17. Yahweh, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Because they are humble, He will answer. That's what He's trying to say. Listen, we realize that these people are humble, Yahweh. Answer them, please. He remembers the call. He remembers the prayer of the humble because of what they do. I know I'm jumping around a lot. I'll slow down here soon, but there's just so many verses that deal with humility. In Psalm 69, verse 32, it says, "The humble shall see this and be glad." What's this? In 31, "This also shall please Yahweh better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves." This is saying the humble see God's grace, because God doesn't... It was talking about in the Old Testament, though it was put there, God's not the type of person who just wants blood and sacrifice. He doesn't want blood and sacrifice every dang day. He doesn't. He wanted you to do it. It was only a type for Christ. He doesn't. That's not what he likes. He doesn't like you killing animals every dang day. Okay. What he's saying is the grace that we give, and the humility that we give, and love of the brethren, and not sinning, is what he loves. And when the humble see that, they're glad. Okay, if you're proud and you're arrogant, you're not going to look on something God did and think it's good. You're going to think, why'd he do that? I would have done whatever. You know, I would have done this. Why didn't God just come down, destroy all the people that were mocking Jesus? If I was up on the cross and they said, come down from there, if you're the Messiah, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to. And boom. But I'm not God. I don't live in humility. My nature isn't humble. That's why we need to be humble. Most humans don't just walk in humility because it's easy. Okay? That's why you have to be humbled. You have to be shown to be put down, because we always talk like, I can do it myself, it's my life. You know, whenever we go out in soul winning and we talk like, you know, God died for your sins, he knows everything, right? But God died for your sins, buried, rose again, is the Messiah, will come back if you just accept him. I was talking to Gary the other day about how the acceptance of the gospel itself is humility. Because you're putting yourself under this thing that you never heard before, and you're willing to live this life that you never heard before, and so you're putting yourself under this grace that he's giving you. He's giving you a gift of grace, and mostly whenever you get gifts, you're like, oh, great, thanks. You know, and you open up and, wow, this is great for me. But God's saying, here's grace. Be humble enough to accept it. And if you're humble enough to accept it, I welcome you in. I love you. I give you open arms, right? This is a lifestyle, people. It is. It's not something that you can do just once in a while. And God accepts your prayers. He is willing to open himself to you if you are humble enough to accept him, right? It's the circle. In Colossians, once again, we see... I'm not going to turn there. We see once again that this talks about how those that do God's will and those that are that follow His way, and it says those are who are considered humble are His elect. Okay, elect is just another way of saying Christian. We are Christians, or the way you're seeing it, we are Christians, right? We are people of Christ, okay? If we're people of Christ, then we should be acting the way Christ acts, because we're followers of Him, okay? Everyone who's a follower of some king follows that king's rules, okay? Well, if we're Christ's people, then we should be living like Christ. And He lived a humble life to the utmost, even when He could have totally destroyed anybody who was doing it, anybody who was coming against Him. He humbled himself under people that even he said, I'm not going to be around you. Even the people that he said, you're not elect. You aren't my chosen. I didn't come directly, I died for the world, but you're not going to accept me. You're not going to be in my kingdom. You don't consider me king. And I still humble myself under you. I still put myself under you as a different status, right? Go to this one in James 4. James 4, 7 through 10. We'll be talking a lot about this, these passages. We just came off of the, this is the James 4, 6, where it just said, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So right after it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is the open arms thing again. Okay? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he will lift you up. You can't do these things without humbling yourself. You can't come to God without humbling yourself. That's the whole point of coming to God. You realize that you're wrong. You realize that the things you've done aren't good enough for God to accept you. So what do I need to do? How can I come closer to God? I need to humble myself, and then he will be, come on, come child, you know, come son, come daughter. You are welcome to be with me because you have humbled yourself in front of me. I don't take the proud. Remember, I shun the proud. It's almost like he has a line of people, and you lived a humble life. Come over here. You didn't. Get away. You did. You know, and that's how it is. I shun the proud. I don't deal with it. It's almost like God says, get away from me. I'm not dealing with you today. You need to change your attitude, right? Be humble, and then you will be at the end. This is what we're going to jump into, for the most part. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. To being lift up, that's the, don't take the first seat, because if you take the last seat, you'll be lifted up, right? You will get that given to you because you humbled yourself. Proverbs, keep on going back and forth, sorry. Proverbs 15. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Sorry, that's the wrong one. 15:33. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So this is saying, before we even got into the New Testament, it's saying if you want to be honored by God, you have to humble yourself. That's the only way it's going to happen. He's not going to give it to you unless you humble yourself first. And then later on, just three chapters later in 18:12, it says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. That's the haughty look. That's the proud look. Again, so you're going to be destroyed, right? We always talk in sports, pride comes before a fall, right? And so, like, oh, look what I just did. I just broke your ankles, or I just got you. I just scored on you, or whatever. And then the next thing that comes out of usually Christians who you're playing with is pride comes for a fall, and that means you're going to lose, right? And so this is where we're getting the same thing, where it says, before destruction is a man of that's haughty or proud, okay? And then right after it says, before honor. It's humility. This is one of those proverbs where they do the opposite of what was just done before it. So we have destruction, you're proud. Honor, you're humble. You're humility. That's how it goes. And you can't have one without the other. Now, God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the people who are proud too, or they would have been destroyed. Because he just says you're going to get destroyed if you're humble. So he gives grace to them too. Because, you know, the whole world will be destroyed. But this is the thing where it's not so much of, I'm going to destroy you right now. It's okay, you want these rewards in heaven. You want these. You want to be glorified in heaven. You want God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You want to be looked on in the community of God's body and His kingdom as that is a pillar of God. That's Christ right there. If we can, the closest we can get to Christ, that's Him. We love this guy, and he exemplifies Christ in what he does, how he acts, and he says, you can't do that unless you're humble. You cannot do that unless you're humble. Because you can do all these things that God likes, right? You can have grace for people. You can have love for people, but it won't be perfect love because you're not humble enough to like them enough because you think you're better than them. You can serve people, okay? But if you're serving them in a way that I'm just doing this to make myself look good, then that's not humble. You need to serve in humility. You need to give grace in humility. You need to give love in humility. You can't act like Christ. You cannot do it without being humble and without acting in humility, mostly because everything that Christ did on earth, he came to earth to, one, die for our sins, but two, to show us how to live. Okay? We can't learn to live by Him if we aren't humble, because that's all He did. He lived in a humble state. We'll see, we're going to break apart soon the Trinity, okay? And we're going to show you the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of them show humility in different ways. The Son, it's almost like, really, you need to show this? He didn't really show His humility. We know that He became God. We know that He was God, He became man. It's like, that's humbling Himself. But His lifestyle and the things that He did, He was humble even to God. How can you be humble to God when you are God? You're the God of the universe. You don't need to answer to anybody. You don't need to put yourself under anything because everything you do is perfect and just. You could stamp on us like an insect and you would be justified in it because you're God. And what you do is right. And He still humbled Himself under us. Us. We're His creation. That's unheard of. And we can never humble ourselves as much as Jesus did because He came from Almighty Power Creator to one of His creations. I was talking to somebody about how even if we could become one of those really little tiny ants that really annoy you and walk and like crawl all over you and stuff, they don't do anything. They're just those really annoying tiny black ones. If we became that, we still wouldn't have enough humility as the Son. Because we didn't create that thing. Right? We're bigger than it. There, its life is done. And I took no energy. I didn't even have to go like that. I could have just... and that's the power that I uphold, right? It's nothing. We didn't create that though. So, God put us in that status. But we didn't even create that. He came from the Creator to something living around the things that He created. And then He let those things kill Him. It's ridiculous. To a human mindset that considers, why would you do that to yourself? Well, because I'm humble. Humility is a lifestyle. Once again in Proverbs 22. By humility and the fear of Yahweh are riches and honor and life. We get life. We get riches. What riches are we getting? I'm not rich. You'll get it in the kingdom. You will be rich in the kingdom if you're humble. Humility comes with these things. Yes, you might not have honor now, but this is where you're worth seeing if you're going to actually be humble or not. Well, why would I give it to you now when I don't even know if you're going to be humble or not? Because I could give it to you and then you wouldn't be humble anymore. You got what you wanted. You need to have patience, right? You need to humble yourself and have patience in this life, and then when the life's done, you will be honored. But if you don't, you're not going to get that. You won't. Let's go to Luke 14. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He also said this in Luke 18:14. He also says this in Matthew 20:23-12. He says the exact same things. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do not put yourself at the top, because that's being proud, and then you're shunned. It's very easy. It's very easy math here. Very easy. My dad could do this math, right? Very easy. It's 1 plus 1 equals 2. Okay? If you're proud, and you live that life, you're getting nothing. If you're humble, and you live a humility life, you'll get something. It's simple. It's that simple. It's very easy. And then we won't go to it, but in Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. So once again, it's a lifestyle. You have to continue this. It's not something that you just do once. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. You're building up your honor. If you're humble enough, you're building up your honor. Don't stop. Have patience and continue the race, right? And then stay in the New Testament and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. We are already there with 5:5. Once again, Peter and James talk a lot about being humble, putting yourself under the mighty hand of God. In 6, right after it, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. One of my favorite passages in the Bible was Matthew 6, okay? And it's the bottom of Matthew 6. It starts around, verse 25. That B part of the chapter is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's talking about, don't worry. This is where Jesus says, I feed the sparrows, I feed you. I know the hairs on your head, so don't worry because I know everything. I know your problems, right? One of my favorite passages because it shows you that worrying is a sin and a lot of people worry. But why are they worrying? What's the major reason people are worrying? Money, time, jobs, kids, clothes, house, car, all these things that are about me. My family, my clothes, my time, my job, my life, my house. How dare my house not look good enough in front of the neighborhood? My lawn, my everything. That's all proud. That's all me. And in Peter it's saying right here, put all these my's, all these cares of everything I worry about, everything I have to worry about this, and when that's solved, because God solved it for you, because he has grace for you. Oh, this is still here though, I gotta worry about that. And that's all you do. That's all life is. And that's what the world wants you to, once you're done with high school, you gotta go to college, because if you don't go to college, you won't get a good job, and if you don't get a good job, you're not going to be able to support your family, and if you don't support your family, then you'll be a deadbeat, and if you're a deadbeat, then your mind just goes in this race of, I have to do these things for myself. If I don't do them for myself, then myself, oh my goodness, myself. It's all about you. Peter's saying, take all that, and forget about it. Give it to him. Be humble enough, okay, to forget about yourself and give it to him. And he'll care for you. That's humble. That's putting yourself, once again, under a status that you don't consider yourself being under. Take all these cares. I love Matthew 6. I love it. I could read it tons because it talks about worrying. And if you worry, then you're being proud because you're only caring about yourself. Okay? Even if you want to justify it and say, I'm worrying about the church. I'm worrying about the church's finances. Okay? Why? This is God's house. This is God's people. You really think he's not going to take care of us? It's like, it's his. He takes care of his people. He takes care of those who he loves. And he loves you. So be humble enough to accept that. It's all about humility, people. You can't You can't live the Christ people, Christians. You can't live that lifestyle perfectly, the way that God wants us to. You can't, unless you're humble enough to accept that it's not about you. It's about Him. And that's the important part. Let's go with me to Isaiah 57. We're going to start talking about the Trinity. And I always, one of the things that I was studying in this was, I always thought, you know what, we're told to be humble. It's mentioned tons. I didn't even take you to half of them. We're told to be humble. Isaiah 57, sorry. We're told to be humble. We're told to live this lifestyle. But at the same time, it's like, we're told by a God who really doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be. When you are the head of everything, you don't have to take command from anything. Okay? That's why everybody wants to be a boss, because no one gets to tell me what to do. Right? So, when you're the top of the world, you're the top of the universe, you're the top of time, you control time. Okay? That's a power that nobody can ever have. Right? Control time. When you made time and you live outside of it and you just work in it, it's like, that's power that no one will ever see, ever. Why does He need to be humble? You're telling us to do something that you're humble? How are you humble if you're the most powerful being in the universe? Okay? And we're going to see the different qualities. We're going to break the Trinity down and see the different qualities of humility so that you guys can see humble isn't just a thing that we need to do. Okay? It's a thing that God does on a regular basis, even if you guys don't realize it. Because that's the lifestyle. A lifestyle isn't always seen. Okay? You might see me up here and say, oh, he's teaching about humility. He must be really humble. You know? And then I go and make, you know, my wife and my kids a living hell because I expect everything to be about me. You know? Or only when I show face to church, I'm under you guys. I'm humble. But the people that really know me, you know that I'm not. It's like it's not a show face type of thing, because that means you're showing myself. You don't want to show yourself. You want to live in a, I'll stay behind, okay? And when I was studying, why I said this is because when I'm studying this, I'm thinking, God doesn't stay behind. We have to recognize Him. We have to. We're told to. We have this whole Bible teaching us about, there's this guy coming, and this guy's going to change the world, and you better listen to him. And in the meantime, that's the Messiah, so we're thinking about him the whole time, and God the Father is telling us, I want you to kill these animals, and you're doing it because you sinned against me, and when you're done doing that, make sure you do a couple heave offerings and thank offerings and peace offerings, and you're offering to me. Just so you know, it's me. I'm God. I made you. Okay? How is this being humble? We'll see. Let's start with the Father. In Matthew 7, I'm sorry. Let's not break it down yet. This first verse in Isaiah 57, 15. This is the God of the universe. This isn't broken down into the three sections, right? This is the God of the universe talking. For thus says the High and Lofty One. Already, yeah, wow, you're really humble there, buddy, right? Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Does this sound anything like humility? I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Wait, what? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones? Weren't you just talking about you're the best thing since sliced bread? You're better than sliced bread? You're the best thing ever. And now you're saying, this guy, this being who nothing can touch me. I am above everywhere and I live everywhere. There's nothing that anything can be done to me. I am the Holy One. I am the Lofty One. Right? I dwell among the humble. I live. He's living with the humble people. He's living with them. I take this as, my mind goes to basketball once again. I'm sorry, it does. If I say, you know, I'm really good at basketball. I'm really good. I just got accepted to Michael Jordan's summer camp for basketball. He thinks I'm one of the best, right? Or, you know, hey, while I was there, I met LeBron James, and he says I could really be something. He said that I'm pretty good, right? If I'm mentioning those names, Michael Jordan is a worldwide name. Everybody knows who he is, okay? LeBron's getting to that point, too. Everybody knows these people. If I'm telling you, hey, I'm rubbing shoulders with these guys, look how good I am, right? Look at the people who I'm with. All right, then you start seeing, maybe he is. If LeBron's saying it, if Jordan has accepted him, maybe he is something. God's saying, look at me. I'm with the guys you don't even know. I'm with the humble people. I rub shoulders with these guys. They think I'm great. And I think they're great too, because I'm mentioning them to you so you recognize humility. You recognize humble people. You don't even know their names. But it's almost, whenever I'm doing that, right, I'm showing you how good I am by the people I hang with, right? God's saying, though I am the lofty one, I'm showing you who I hang out with. And the ones I hang out with are humble. I don't hang out with the LeBron James and the Michael Jordans because... And this isn't a slam. I've seen them. They're arrogant. Okay? They're arrogant. Their head, I'm surprised the world can fit their head. They're so about themselves, and the media has made them that way, but those are the people that I'm rubbing against. I'm with these people. These are the all-stars. Right? That's a good term. These are the all-stars. Doesn't matter who you're with. Crosby, McCutcheon, Jordan, it doesn't matter, okay? I'm the all-stars. I'm with the all-stars. God's saying, I'm with these Christian all-stars. I am one of them. I, the lofty one, the one above everything, live with them. And you might be, who are they? They're humble. That's who they are. They're humble. I live with the humble. That's putting yourself so far below anything that was before. All the lofty one, I am the holy one, right? You hear that in the part of the verse, that resonating, oh, God. And then when he says, I dwell with the humble, it's like, whoa. That doesn't sound right to the human ear, because the human ear, if you're the lofty one, you should be talking about other people that you're with who are lofty. You should be talking about other holy ones. I am. I'm talking about my holy people, my humble holy people. This is our God, okay? This is the God that he doesn't need to say that for him to be humble, because that's the people he accepts in his kingdom, right? That's the people that he dwells with. He lives with these people. He will live with you. You will be one of those that he lives with if you're humble enough to accept to be part of him. Okay? He's not this king who overbears you. He's not a king who gets fat off of the riches and the money that the people who serve him gives. He's the king who says, come to me and just chill with me with my golden crown and my throne. You're humble. Come on. This is the humble God. Now go to Matthew 17, and we're going to break apart, before I end, real quick, this is the Father. We're going to start with the Father. Matthew 17, 1 through 5. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Okay? Now you might be saying, why are we talking, or I thought you said we're going to talk about the Father. This is the humility of the Father. You guys do realize the Father is the God that we talk about in all of the Old Testament. This is the God that we fear. This is the God that we sent sacrifices to. This is the God that we kill animals to because of our sins. This is the God we reverence. This is the God we're scared of. This is the God that we said, if we see Him, we'll die. Okay? This is that mighty, all-powerful Old Testament God who gave us the law, who gave us everything. This is what, before there was a New Testament, because this time there wasn't. This is the Scriptures God talking and saying, it's about Him, people. Him. The Son. It's about Him. Forget Moses and Elijah. And I'm only saying this right now so you realize it's Him. It's not, it's everything that you thought about me, put it to Him. That's humility. Because if you have this reverence, if you're the boss of a company, if you're the CEO, you're the president, you're the owner, everybody recognizes you as a certain status and has certain power and has a certain, you know, oh, that's the boss, I gotta shake him up. That's I gotta do something good. Right? That's the boss! That's the CEO! This is the guy who owns the world! This is the guy who owns the company! He's coming and saying, I want you to listen to him. That's humility! Because everything that was about you has been put down to him now. The humility of the Father is giving reverence to the Son, but not just reverence. It's giving the status that he had, that the Father had, and gave it to the Son. It's not about me anymore. I know I was the God of fear. I know I was the God of reverence. I know you did everything because you, in fear, reverenced me and holied me. But that's true and all, and I'm glad you did, but that time's over. Okay? Now, take everything that you thought about me and put it to him. That's humble. And if you don't see it, I'm sorry. Because that's humility in the utmost. He does this again with the baptism. You know, you have the Trinity represented there. And I think there's twofold of why God even said anything. One was to represent the Trinity. But the other one was to show his humility in saying, this is the guy now. This is the one that you will consider as everything you thought God was before him. This is the guy. You're not going to hear about me anymore. You're barely going to hear me talk at all. I'll say one more thing later on whenever you took the spotlight off of him. But it's all about him. So everything you got about me, give it to him. The Holy Spirit is also someone, when we switch gears, the Holy Spirit, as I've talked tons of times about the Holy Spirit, his humility is so much that you never, no one ever talks about him, ever talks about him. Unless it's, oh, I'm working in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's good. But that power of the Holy Spirit, through prophets, through tongues, through powers and wonders, you know, it's all about, what is the Holy Spirit's power doing? It's representing Christ. Okay? This Holy Spirit that we worship, I don't think we worship Him enough because we realize He's there. But I don't think we reverence Him enough as God. When we put the God of the Old Testament and the Son who has done so much for us, and then we put the Holy Spirit in that same reverence and holiness, the Holy Spirit says, thank you. Go to the Son now. It's not about me. Because you're not going to see me. You're not going to see anything about me. I don't talk. You realize you don't hear the Spirit unless He's working through somebody else to talk about Jesus. Every time the Spirit took over somebody to prophesy. It's all about the Messiah or about the Father or about the reference of God. It's never about Him. They never even say, I'm in the power of the Holy Spirit now and I say, right? The Holy Spirit always says, Son, 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 Son. It's all about the Son. Hey, you're not talking correctly. I'm going to overtake you and you're going to talk about the Son. Okay? Well, what about you? You're God. Yeah, I'm God. But it's about the Son. That's the humility of the Spirit. Go to John 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you're thinking, that's great. I'm glad. Yeah, I can't wait for that. Then it says, But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's humility, people, in that I am waiting. There's the patience again, right? The Holy Spirit is waiting to even work. If even doing work, He's waiting to do work in people. And the God loves doing work in us. He loves it because it shows grace and mercy and love, and it builds the body together, right? You guys realize no one had the Spirit at this time. It was brought on and taken off. Some people had it here, whatever. Okay, John had it when he was born, and I don't think he ever got rid of it, ever got rid of him until his death. But he's the only one, right? During Jesus' time, you didn't see the Holy Spirit unless it was by power. This power is being done. Or the disciples have it, but it's just for a little while, okay? It's the power. Power, 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 power. But the Holy Spirit is never on somebody like He is with us right now. Okay? And why? What's the reason? It says, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm waiting until you guys see the Son. And when you see the Son and He says, my time's done, then I'll come in. Let Him do it first. I'm waiting to do my power because I can't wait. But when I do my power, it'll be great and it'll talk about the Son who allowed me to come in. Okay? It's all waiting. Humility is waiting your turn. You really think the God of the universe has to wait for anything? But He's willingly waiting for the Son. I'm right here. I'm ready at the bat. I can't wait to do it. But when I do, it's going to be about Him. I'm humble enough to, one, only talk about Him, and two, wait for Him to be glorified. Wait for Him to be the centerpiece of Christianity. And then I'll come in, and I'll do power and wonders. And people will wow, 5,000 got saved, and tongues of fire and all this, and you know, dropping dead with Peter, and ripping pieces off of Paul and giving it to people, and you know, they get healed and all that. That's power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But none of that happened until after Jesus, the Son, was glorified. Jesus needed to be glorified first, and then go. That's humility. You're waiting your turn. I'm sorry. And like I said again, a lot of the power that we see today, even, is done in the body. The body of what? Not the body of the Holy Spirit, though it is. Not the body of the Father, though it is. It's the body of Christ, right? He's not doing power outside of the body of Christ. We don't recognize the Holy Spirit enough. And that's his MO. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to recognize the Son. The last part is the Son, and this is, I had in my notes, duh. Like, really? We really need to do this? But yeah, I think we do, because it's not only of what He's done for us. And yeah, we're going to be talking about that in Philippians 2. We're talking about, obviously, He came and He died for us. That's obvious. Or we all wouldn't be here. We all wouldn't be listening. We know Christ died for us. He shed His blood. That's humility in itself. dying, loving each other, loving us to give up your life for. But in Philippians 2, we see this, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let his mind be in you, which was in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So already we see a bit of humility because he didn't care. That he didn't think like he had anything taken away from him, that he was God and then had become man. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Yet another big piece of humility, right? Became as one of his creatures. And being formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now this is humility because he died for us. This is humility because he was obedient. Who's he being obedient to? The Father. So if you're listening to somebody and you're willing to listen to somebody and it doesn't hurt you to listen to somebody, you're being humble, right? Because you're putting yourself under that status. The Father said, go do this. Okay. And he goes, does it. That's humility. That's humbling yourself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay? How are we having the glory of God the Father if Jesus is the one that's doing this? And if the Holy Spirit's waiting for the glory of Jesus before he is seen, how are we waiting for the glory of the Father? Well, the glory of the Father is in his humility. The glory of the Father is in his obedience. Right? Remember, Jesus did everything that the Father told him. We see in John 14, 7 through 10, where Jesus said, I don't say anything and I don't do anything unless the Father has told me. You're allowing somebody to control your mouth. That is humble. If I picked somebody out of the crowd and I said, and I picked another person out of the crowd, I'm picking Russ. Okay? Russ, from here on out, Rachel Laro is going to tell you what to say for the rest of your life. Doesn't matter if you like it or not, she's going to tell you what to say. And if he says, okay, from that point on, that's humility. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I don't do. Oh, I'm sorry, Russ. You have to also do what she tells you to do. You can't even go to a town unless she tells you to. You can't talk to somebody unless she tells you to. Okay? You can't lie down and go to sleep. I know you're tired. You can't. Unless you call Rachel and ask her, is it okay if I go to bed now? Because that's what Jesus did. Okay? He lived his life dying, sleeping, living, walking, traveling, talking, teaching, eating. All those things was because the Father said, do this now. Now this. Say this. Don't even answer. Just draw on the floor here. Spit in some dirt over here. I know you're tired. You've been up a lot, son. But you know what? Walk on the water in a storm, okay? While you're over here, you have a lot of people around you. I know. Stay there. I know you're tired. Stay there. I know they could be annoying you. Stay there. And he does it. He does everything that the Father tells him to do. That's ultimate humility. And I don't want to minimize the death because that's the best thing that's ever happened. Okay? The resurrection, sealifying, that's the best thing that ever happened. I'm trying to show you other qualities of God though. Okay? This is a quality of God that we don't really recognize. The man did not do anything of his own ambition. Okay? Nothing. He even God, this is a Trinity working in perfect unity, right? The Father says, tell them, you're going to get something good soon. But you're not talking about anything you're going to give them. You're talking about the Holy Spirit that will be coming. That's humility in a way we can't even understand. I'm being told to do something that is, and in doing that I'm humble, but in that me telling what I'm saying is humble because I'm not even talking about myself. It's like, wow, how can we live this? We can live this by just putting yourself under people, loving people, having grace for people, you know? Not being the first person in line. Not being the first, not telling somebody it should be me. Not getting offended when somebody does sin to you. You realize that. That's a big part. Because tons of people sinned against Christ when he was on the earth. Tons. The things that we go through in life, and the things that we do in life, we have a lot of people coming up to us, whether at work or in life, or family, or friends, or whatever you may have, even the vendor at Kennywood who didn't give you what you wanted in change. It's not important. It's not important. Because these things are all under what happened to Christ. Okay? People spit in his face. Tell me one person, if I spit in your face, you'll be okay with it. Then all the men who have beards, I'm going to rip your beard out. And God says, stay there. And he stays, people. He stays. He just stays. It's like, this humility is so much more than what you can imagine. And if we live in this, then it's definitely something that we can live like him to the utmost. And it's not something that is weak. A Christian rapper who I never forget this phrase. And I brought this up to the brothers of Daniel a couple times. He says, if you think being meek is weak, try being meek for a week. Just try. It's very hard. Meekness and humility is something that is so hard for humans to do because humans care about themselves. They care about their lives. They care about their themselves, right? Try being meek for a week. Let's all try it. Try it. From Sunday to next Sunday, try it. I won't test you. I'm not teaching next Sunday. Try it. Seriously. Try being meek for 1 week. And that's being meek to your children. That's being meek to your sister, your brother, your cousin, your father who you never really liked. Your mother, who really gives you a hard time. Your in-laws, okay? Your boss. Your co-worker. The guy who kicked you in the shin because he hates you. Try being meek for 1 week and see how hard it is. Our God did it his entire life, 30 plus years. And not only that, he did it with somebody telling him to do it. Which is more hard because I'm just saying, let's try it. I'm not gonna have something, yeah, you weren't meek there. Okay? I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna see you guys all week. The son walked in a lifestyle that was, father tells me to stay while I'm getting punched. I'm gonna stay and get punched. Father tells me don't defend myself during trial. Say nothing. I'll say nothing. Father tells me, let my beard get pulled. I'll let it get pulled. Father tells me, stay here and get lashes upon lashes. I'll stay here. Father tells me to only say 7 things on the cross when I could say so much more. I'll do it. And then we see that because of all that, because of his humility, he was highly exalted above everybody. You guys, we can all be highly exalted. Obviously not his status. But we can all be highly exalted if we're meek enough and we're humble enough to accept it. Okay? You're not gonna get the honor until you're humble. Thank you.